Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Yesterday, we moved into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and took up the subject of carnal Christians, a term that is used, but it is used differently by different people with differing understandings of exactly what a carnal Christian is. And the only way to know what the Bible means by a carnal Christian is to go to the Bible. And the primary place, maybe the only place, but certainly the primary place where that is discussed is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't think this is the only place where the word is used, but here Paul deals with that concept more thoroughly than any other place that I can think of in the New Testament. And so we started into that study yesterday, and we're going to continue it today. But what Paul said was, of these Christians in Corinth that he calls carnal, he said that they are Christians, they are brethren, they are babes in Christ. He describes them as people who were saved, but they are people who have a limited spiritual understanding. He said, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual people, but as to carnal, that is, to babes in Christ. And so, carnal and immature go together. And by immature, we're talking about immature doctrinally, immature spiritually, immature in their knowledge of God's Word. They are babes in Christ who are able to receive the milk of the Word, but not the meat. In other words, the simple truths of Scripture, but not the more solid doctrines of Scripture. That's what a babe in Christ is, and that's what a carnal Christian is. Now, we'll get a little bit more as we move along, but we've got already understand that a carnal Christian is not someone whose behavior is pretty much identical to an unconverted person. He's got his names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but he's just not living like a Christian yet. He's a carnal Christian. That's the concept that many people have. But no, it has to do with his ability to absorb solid doctrine, sound doctrine, well-developed doctrine. He's not at that level yet. He's still at the milk level, the simpler truth of God's Word. Well, we pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, May 25 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for helping us with the finances necessary to continue this ministry on this station. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So the evidences of carnality, as described by Paul in verse 2, is that they are only able to receive milk, that is, basic teaching suitable for new Christians, for babes in Christ, and they are unable to receive what he calls solid food, well-developed doctrine. And that was, of course, Paul's position, or what should I say, that was their condition when Paul was present with them, when he established the church. They were all babes in Christ. They were all new Christians. But the problem is they hadn't grown much since then. Back to verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Until now, you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not able. This can be, depending upon who's doing the chronological configurations, but this can be as much as 5 years later. They're still babes in Christ. They're still only able to receive milk. They're still not able to take the solid food of God's Word, the more developed doctrine of God's Word. And that, my friends, is, what should I say? I'm tempted to say it's inexcusable. There's no reason for that except just inattention to one's own spiritual development. When the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's an imperative. That's a command. That's an instruction. We have a responsibility to do that. Here were people who hadn't been doing that. They are still babes in Christ. That is, they are still carnal all these years later. And then after having given a description of carnality in verse 1 and evidence of carnality in verse 2, he goes on to give typical behavior of a carnal Christian in verses 3 and 4. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? That word carnal is used over and over and over again in these four verses. Did you catch it? I think I'll go back and read it again, starting in verse 1, and I'll emphasize the word carnal so you'll see what I'm talking about. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving as mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? I wasn't counting, but I think the term carnal there was probably used about five times in those four verses. But what are the behaviors of carnality? They are, according to verse 3, envy and strife. And according to verse 4, divisions. In verse 3, envy, or that could be translated jealousy. These are Christians who are still being influenced by fleshly attitudes such as envy, jealousy. They begrudge what the blessings that God has brought upon another brother or sister in Christ. They resent the fact that other person received the blessing and they wish it was theirs instead. Strife, that goes beyond the attitudes and thoughts of envy or jealousy, but the actual actions that grow out of it, resulting from envy, the things they do because of their resentments, the things they do to let it be known of their disappointment and displeasure because of what someone else has been blessed with. And then this leads furthermore to divisions, the Paul-Apollos factions that are well known from the book of 1 Corinthians. One says, I am of Paul. Another says, I am of Apollos. And this is given to us as a description of carnality, that is, immaturity. Paul started dealing with this problem of divisions back in chapter 1, starting in verse 11. And here we are in chapter 3, and we're still dealing with it. He's still talking about it. He's explaining it a little more fully so that we can understand what he's talking about and why and where it comes from, what's causing it. And here he says, it's immaturity. You're acting like a bunch of kids, a bunch of grade school kids, a bunch of junior high kids. Think of a gaggle of junior high girls who have their cliques and their resentments and their gossip, and they sit around, and this little group sits around and cuts down the people in the other group, runs them down to their friends. And it's not only girls that are guilty of this. Boys are too, but somehow it seems to be maybe a little more prevalent among girls, but maybe not. Maybe not. It's just a matter of carnality, immaturity. And that's what was going on in the church. And this is what Paul calls carnality. You are carnal. And so it's evidenced by a lack of ability to absorb strong, solid, spiritual food, sound doctrinal teaching from the Word of God. And it's characterized by envy and strife and petty divisions. It's immaturity. Notice what it is not. Getting back to the misconceptions. A carnal Christian is not one whose life is basically the same as the world. He's asked Jesus to be his Savior, and so if he dies, he'll go to heaven, but he's still getting drunk, he's still telling dirty stories, he's still frequenting nightclubs and bars, he's still committing immorality, he's still involved in all of these behaviors that are common among unconverted people. That's just the way the world tends to live, but it's not the way that Christians live, and he's still living that way. Yes, he's made a decision for Christ. He's asked Jesus to be his Savior, but you can't really tell any difference between his life and that of an unconverted person. But don't worry, he's on his way to heaven. It's a shame. He needs to be living better. He needs to clean up his act. We want him to live like a Christian. We want him to be fruitful and effective. We want him to be a good witness for Christ, and he can't be in all of these things, but he's nevertheless a Christian, even though his behavior is essentially the same as an unbeliever. No, that's not what Paul's got in mind here. It is true that things like envy and strife and petty divisions also characterize unbelieving people, but he is not talking about people who are living in immorality, living in drunkenness, living in fornication. That is not what he's talking about. He will make it very clear before we get much further into this book that people who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they are no Christians at all. But what he's talking about is the kind of immature behavior that unfortunately is all too common in churches all across America. This envy and bickering and divisions and inability to receive and appreciate sound doctrine. That's what a carnal Christian is. Are you, my friend, a carnal Christian? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.